Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 83 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
We believe that that bill violated their constitutional rights and the way that it was passed.
Attorney General Andy Beshear feels good about today's pension lawsuit hearing.
The Moorhead State University Board of Regents passed the 2018-19 budget today.
Two state troopers and a coroner in Scott County have been indicted.
A Prestonsburg man is charged with killing a fellow inmate.
Rowan County Senior High School has a new principal.
In sports, the Lady Raiders begin the fight for the state championship tonight in Owensboro.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 63. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Scott County coroner, a former Kentucky State Police commander, and a KSP trooper were indicted by a Scott County grand jury today. LEX 18 reports Trooper Mitchell Harris is charged with taking 15 shotguns and 200 cases of ammunition belonging to the KSP and forging documents to transfer those items to his commander. Former Commander Mike Crawford has been indicted for receiving stolen property. Coroner John Goebel is charged with receiving stolen property, abuse of public trust, and two counts of official misconduct. Those last charges for allegedly transporting illegal moonshine and donor eyes from My Eye Bank to West Virginia for personal profit. Goebel also is charged with possession of a controlled substance. All three men are scheduled to appear in court July 2nd at 1 p.m.
Painesville police are investigating a shooting in the city's downtown. WYMT reports someone fired a shot into the office of attorney Robert Miller Monday afternoon. City police officer Zachary Mitchell says someone drove by and fired a shot through the window.
We actually found remnants of what appeared to be shrapnel as well as the blinds. Whenever the round went through, it destroyed the blinds as well. Actually, who fired the shot is still under investigation. We don't know anything at this point. Video surveillance was unavailable at the time.
Anyone with information is asked to contact local law enforcement. Callers may remain anonymous.
Kentucky State Police have charged a 23-year-old man with murder in the death of a jail inmate. Police say Scotty Gibson of Prestonsburg was charged yesterday. The release said 29-year-old Adam Potter died Tuesday after being transferred from the Floyd County Detention Center to a nearby hospital. Police say they were told the inmate had been injured in a possible altercation. The cause of death is pending results of an autopsy.
Ashland police have made several drug arrests this week. According to the Daily Independent, 41-year-old Robert Stroman, 43-year-old Michael McGregor, 30-year-old John Simpkins, and 22-year-old Brandy Piott were all arrested Monday. The four face a variety of charges in separate cases, including trafficking and possession of a controlled substance. All four are lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center. They are scheduled to appear in Boyd District Court on June 13th.
Three people have been charged with bringing drugs into that Boyd County Detention Center. WSAZ reports 28-year-old Christy Queen, 31-year-old Stephanie Proctor, and 29-year-old Jessica Brees are all charged with first-degree promoting contraband. Investigators say the suspects brought heroin into the jail earlier this week. All three are lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for programming on Moorhead State Public Radio comes from Prevent Child Abuse Kentucky. One in four girls and one in six boys are sexually abused before their 18th birthday, and 88% of cases are never reported. Every adult can take responsibility to protect children by learning to reduce risk, how to intervene, and where to report at pcaky.org, funded in part by a grant from the Child Victims Trust Fund.
Attorney General Andy Beshear argued in Franklin Circuit Court this morning that Senate Bill 151, the pension reform bill passed in the final days of the 2018 General Assembly, should be struck down. Beshear says the law illegally cuts benefits of public employees and was zipped through the General Assembly in rapid process that violated state law. Beshear says Governor Matt Bevin's administration has done everything they could to stop the lawsuit.
He tried to disqualify me. He tried to take depositions of police officers and teachers. And he tried to disqualify the judge twice, but none of that worked. So the people got their hearing today, those 200,000 families, and I was honored to be their voice in court. We feel good about our arguments. We believe that our arguments are correct under the law, and that as long as the law is applied, that Senate Bill 151 will be voided.
Franklin Circuit Judge Philip Shepard stated that he will have a decision on the matter before July 14th, when some of the first changes are slated to go into effect.
The Morehead State University Board of Regents passed the budget for the 2018-19 fiscal year today. The plan totals $147.3 million, which is a $4.9 million decrease from the 2017-18 year. The budget reflects a decrease in revenue from $6.7 million due to decreased state funding and declining enrollment. Chief Financial Officer Teresa Lindgren says the university cut $9.6 million in personnel cost.
Personnel consists of all salaries and wages and for employees and student workers and all fringe benefits. Operating consists of non-personnel expenditures attributable to the daily operations of running the institution. Those would include supplies, travel, utilities, anything that's non-personnel.
The board voted to put 5% of the budget into a rainy day fund moving forward to allow for issues that could come in the future.
Rowan County Senior High School will have a new principal in August. WMKY's Jacob Lindberg reports.
Brandy Carver was unanimously selected by the school's site-based decision-making council. She will replace Dr. Ray Ginter, who retires at the end of this month. Carver taught science at the school for 9 years before becoming assistant principal in 2013. Carver says her number one focus will be to promote and grow academics, but also stresses the importance of helping students become well-rounded individuals. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
Frontier Housing in Morehead will be hosting a block party tomorrow. Wendy Puckett is Frontier's Director of Communications. According to Puckett, the event is open to the public and will take place from 1 to 3 at the agency's new development on Center Street near Klein Court.
It's actually going to be a celebration with our partners and funders and the new homeowners for the culmination of the community development block project that we were working on with the City of Morehead, where we built seven new homes.
The City of Morehead received a community development block grant to upgrade the infrastructure for the project. Frontier Housing is an affordable housing developer that's operated for 44 years in eastern Kentucky. It builds and develops single and multifamily housing.
The Martin County Sheriff's Office is facing financial turbulence as the fiscal court struggles to pay the bill. According to WSAZ, with the unpaid bills, the office may face layoffs and significant cuts to hours and patrols. Sheriff John Kirk says it's important to stay transparent.
We need to let the people know where we stand. If we have no money, we need to tell the people why we have no money and how we intend to pay our bills.
One of the unpaid bills is for the tax collecting software the sheriff's office uses. However, the bill has since been partially paid off. Judge Executive Kelly Callahan did not say when the bills would be paid, but did say the court will work to get them paid.
Dilapidated housing was the main topic of discussion at Vanceburg City Council meeting on Monday. WMKY's Tilden Johnson reports.
Patty Kennard of the Vacant Property Review Commission gave the council a report on properties in Vanceburg the commission deemed as blighted or dilapidated. The Maysville Ledger says Kennard provided a list of 11 houses to the council and requested to act on either giving the property owners a notice or hire a state inspector to investigate the properties for structural integrity. The council agreed with Kennard's list of properties, recognizing many of them as severely run down. The meeting concluded with the mayor advising the council to review the city's properties for any areas which could become a liability for the city's infrastructure. For WMKY, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Crews hired by the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet are conducting a nearly $570,000 project near Kentucky 36. part of the road at mile marker 9.8 on the Owingsville side of State Route 1994, also known as White Oak Road, was closed today for the replacement of a large culvert pipe. Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says the initiative will continue next week.
Monday through Wednesday, we'll have another closure on the west side of Kentucky 1944 intersection on Kentucky 36. So 36 will be closed Monday through Wednesday on the Sharpsburg side of the Kentucky 1944 intersection for a replacement of a concrete culvert with a new aluminum arch culvert there.
During the work, drivers are being asked to detour using Kentucky 1325, Kentucky 1602, State Route 111, or US 60.
Those who drive on County Road 30 in Lawrence County, Ohio, say the collapsed route is a major safety concern. WSAZ reports the road in the Kitts Hill area is down to one lane after the other half caved in. Tim Humphrey says the road has been in its current state for about 2 months. He would like to see more safety measures in place, saying the single traffic cone is not enough.
I'm afraid that someone will drive into it. It's not well marked, and at night this road is dark and no lines or anything like that.
County officials say they're working to secure funding through FEMA to fix the road.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight, mostly clear with a low around 58. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 89. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low around 66. Saturday, a slight chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 88. Saturday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy skies with a low around 67. Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 4 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 84, chance of precipitation is at 60%. Sunday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 66 and a chance of precipitation at 40%. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 84 degrees in Lexington and Winchester, 83 degrees here in Moorhead and Ashland and Inez, and 81 degrees in Flemingsburg.
On our feature segment today, a project is allowing high school students to learn how to build tiny houses. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
It was the idea of Kentucky Valley Educational Cooperative Executive Director Jeff Hawkins and Associate Director Desi Bowling. They wanted to create a program that would give high school students the opportunity to learn real-world applications for math and science. Bowling says they wanted to center the program on students who might never be exposed to the craft.
We wanted to focus on kids who were learning skills, actual skills in their school. So we were able to come up with funding for some of our vocational schools to actually construct tiny homes.
Thus, the Building It Forward project was born. Bowling says the next step was to get the word out.
We had a meeting with the area vocational school principals and with superintendents and ran this idea by them that what if students could actually have an opportunity to design a tiny house and then develop a budget and actually do the build.
The students came from area technology centers in Lee, Owsley, and Wolf counties. Bowling says the students then got to begin their planning process.
We had the students come to our fire summit and present their plan in front of a panel of architects and business people. And then from that, we had three groups that was selected. And so the students went to work with their teachers and they did their design and their budget plan because we were able to give them $15,000 each.
Once the program got started, Bowling says it was a huge success.
It just became an event that brought other area technology centers into the mix, and that these principals were communicating back and forth. Our idea was that we would then host an auction and sell those tiny houses and put that money back into the school system to where they could continue this project.
Bowling says the experience the students gain from this project is what's most important.
These kids are learning skills, and not only just the building skills, but the teamwork the problem solving, because they may think that they can put the heating and cooling units on one side of the wall and then realize after they get to building it in that it just doesn't fit there. So, you know, looking at how to move that with that design process.
The program has been expanded to include Breathitt, Johnson, Leslie, Letcher, and Floyd County students. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
It's 4:45 and 83 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Logan Pemberton. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this Thursday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market. 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays in downtown Morehead on U.S. 60 near the City Park. The Rowan County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods, accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers, and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program. Supporting local farmers, the Rowan County Farmers Market is Kentucky proud.
It's game day for East Carter. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. 16th region champ East Carter's bid for a girls' fast-pitch softball title starts tonight when the unbeaten Lady Raiders face Louisville Butler in Owensboro. East beat the Bearettes 6-5 in mid-April, and coach Derek Calhoun says his team has a big advantage going into the rematch. Butler really didn't see the state's top pitcher, Montana Fouts, in that first meeting.
She came in there the last inning, you know, they started getting on Riley, pitched an excellent ball game. She's our other senior pitcher. They kind of started getting on her there a little bit towards the end, so, you know, we wanted to kind of put a change of pace in with Montana, because Riley's more, you know, she don't have all the speed that Montana does, but, you know, she gets a good movement on her ball. So, you know, she kind of kept them off balance there for about six innings, and then Montana came in and closed the door on them.
The game between East Carter and Butler starts at 6 p.m. No doubt about it, Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire says it's tough for his team to lose the six seniors who recently led the Eagles to their second NCAA tournament in 4 years. McGuire notes infielders Braxton Morris and Eli Bogus, DH Tyler Neiman, and pitchers David Calderon, Kyle Cantu, and J.C. Hatcher had a huge impact on his program.
My four-year guys have won more games than any players in Morehead State history. My two-year guys, which are several JUCO guys as well, that have won more games in the last 2 years than any players in a two-year span. So they've all left a mark. I challenged our junior class. If you want that title, we got to win 39-plus next year. And we're going to be talented enough to do that.
Over the last four seasons, the MSU baseball team has won 143 games and a pair of OVC tournament championships. It's official, the OVC baseball tournament will be held at the Rent One Park in Marion, Illinois for the next 2 years. The Conference President's Council has given the go-ahead to that recommendation from their athletic directors. Morehead State AD Brian Hutchinson is fine with the idea, but would like to eventually see the eight-team tourney be played a little closer to his school's campus.
It would be nice to host some championships in our neck of the woods, and so I think that was pretty loud and clear. I'm not the only one kind of beating that horn. Eastern Kentucky feels the same way about that. And so while this tournament for the next couple of years will be in Marion, there are opportunities a little more in line geographically with us that I'm hopeful in years to come are available to us.
Marion, Illinois is over 300 miles away from Morehead. The tourney has been held the last 2 years in Oxford, Alabama, which is nearly 450 miles away from the MSU campus. St. Louis is losing pitcher Alex Reyes for another season. Just back from Tommy John surgery, the right-hander now needs an operation to fix a tendon in his side. Meanwhile, former Cardinals player and two-time manager Red Schoendienst has died at the age of 95. He led the Cards to the 1967 World Series title. And Arizona has acquired veteran outfielder John Jay from Kansas City in return for two minor leaguers. The Morehead State basketball team is heading into the summer on a high note. That's according to Coach Preston Spradlin. Spradlin says the Eagles went to work shortly after wrapping up their 2017-18 campaign in March to prepare themselves for next season, and they had a good spring.
We hit the weight room extremely hard, and on the court was very productive. We saw our guys' bodies changes, their measurements increased, their weights, all those things that you want to see in the off season went up, and then shooting percentages went up and things like that as well.
Spradlin says the Eagles also performed well in the classroom, compiling a collective 3.0 grade point average. Tomorrow night, the Cleveland Cavaliers will attempt something that has never been done. After last night's 110-102 loss to the Warriors, the Cavs are 0-3 in the finals. Up to this point, no team has ever came back from three games behind to win an NBA championship. Cavs forward LeBron James says that to come out on top tomorrow, they will have to stay consistent all the way through the game.
That's a good thing for us that we have an opportunity to, extend a series, but we got to come out and we got to play for 48 minutes. We know this team that we're going against are, the best third quarter team in the NBA. And once again, they showed that tonight by outscoring us by 8 after we had a lead at halftime. So we have to be dialed in and play like we did the first half and in the fourth quarter tonight.
Tomorrow night's game in Cleveland starts at 9 o'clock. The Philadelphia 76ers president of basketball operations Brian Colangelo resigned today in the wake of what an investigation found was a careless and in some instances reckless share of sensitive team information. The independent review by law firm did not determine that Colangelo operated or was even aware of Twitter accounts that anonymously trashed some of his own players and fellow executives and defended him against criticism from fans and the sports media. Terrell Owens says he will not attend the induction ceremony for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in August. Owens was voted into the hall in February. Owens heavily criticized the voting process when he failed to be elected to the hall in his first 2 years of eligibility. According to ESPN, the New England Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman is facing a 4-game suspension for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing substances policy. According to the league's sources, Edelman has taken hundreds of tests and has not tested positive before. Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier announced last night in a press conference that his dream is to play in the NFL again. After a spinal injury during a December 4th road game in Cincinnati, Shazier had to have spinal stabilization surgery. And lastly in sports, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Justify arrived in New York yesterday as he prepares for his bid to claim the third jewel in horse racing's Triple Crown. The colt is the 4-5 favorite to win this Saturday's Belmont. Trainer Bob Baffert admits having to start the race in the number one position puts his horse at a slight disadvantage.
I never do like to draw the rail, but I just my horses seem to live in it. I just feel that, yeah, I think most importantly is that, that the horse is doing well.
Justify hopes to become just the 12th horse in history to win a Triple Crown. American Pharoah last accomplished that feat in 2015. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host a father-child camp on June 9th, an Eagle Day camp June 11th through the 14th, and Morehead State Team Camp June 22nd through the 24th. More information by calling men's basketball office at 783-5140 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The NASDAQ composite pulled back from record levels today as declines in Facebook and other major tech names pushed the sector and the overall market lower. Strength in certain blue chip names such as McDonald's and Chevron helped the Dow Industrials actually finish up today as the blue chip average was up 95.02 at 25,241.41. The S&P 500 was down 1.98 at 2770.37, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 54.17 at 7635.07. The tech sector today was down about 1% as Facebook and Netflix both fell more than 1.5%. Amazon and Google parent Alphabet also contributed to the NASDAQ's losses. And, of course, the NASDAQ did finish at a record high yesterday. Tech has risen sharply in recent weeks, with the sector gaining more than 5% over the past month, outperforming the rest of the market. Treasury yields fell today as bond prices rose as there was a flight to safety trade going on in the markets, with the 10-year note yield dropping to 2.93%, down from 2.97% yesterday. Earlier, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ rose after comments from Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross when he said that the U.S. struck a deal with China's ZTE to end American sanctions against the company. Ross noted the deal includes a $1 billion penalty against ZTE and a U.S. chosen compliance team to be embedded at ZTE Corporation. Trade concerns did linger as the day went on, as Boeing shares dropped 1.4%. And, of course, Boeing is highly sensitive to trade worries since a large chunk of its business comes from overseas. McDonald's was up almost 4% today after the company announced a fresh batch of layoffs. And in the commodities markets, oil is up 0.7% at $65.95 a barrel. Gold is down 20 cents at $1,301.20 an ounce. In Europe, the stock 600 index showed a loss of 0.25%. And in the Far East, markets were better, with the Nikkei up 0.7%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong finishing up 0.8%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were McDonald's and Chevron, while the worst performers were Intel and Visa. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Apache and Allergan, while the worst performers were Nektar Therapeutics and Seagate Technology. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 42 cents at $79.58, CSX up 42 cents at $65.75, Marathon Petroleum up 33 cents at $79.09, AK Steel up 5 cents at $4.70, AEP up 33 cents at $64.14, and Kroger was up 31 cents to finish at $24.99. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to click it or ticket. Seatbelt use in Kentucky is 86.8%, below the national average of 90.1%. Half of those killed last year in motor vehicle crashes were not wearing a seatbelt. The Kentucky Department of Highway Safety reminds you to buckle up every trip. Every time, it will save lives. Click it or ticket.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 58. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies with a high near 89. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low around 66. Saturday, a slight chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Mostly sunny skies with a high near 88. Saturday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 67. And Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers and possibly a thunderstorm after 4 p.m., mostly cloudy skies with a high near 84 and a chance of precipitation at 60%.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, a blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at Moorhead Kroger from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, June 9th. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. Donors will receive a free t-shirt.
The Rowan County Arts Center will host a summer arts camp for children in kindergarten through 5th grade from 1 to 4 p.m. the week of June the 11th through the 15th. Cost is $7 per day or $30 for the week. Supplies and snacks are provided. More information at 783-9857.
The Moorhead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness will meet at 6 p.m. Tuesday, June 12th at the Pathways Building located at 325 Main Street in Moorhead. Family, friends, and loved ones of people with mental illness, as well as people living with mental illness, are encouraged to attend the event.
The Moorhead Theater Guild will present Arthur Miller's The Crucible at the Rowan County Arts Center. The play will be staged the weekends of July 6th through the 8th and July 13th through the 15th, 7:30 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays, and 2 p.m. on Sundays. Tickets are now on sale at the Rowan County Arts Center, $10 for adults and $5 for children.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling presents an international spotlight dinner featuring specially made cuisine from Western Africa on Saturday, June 30th. Dinner begins at 6 p.m. and a cash bar will be available. Tickets are $15 at the door.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center, located on East Main Street in Mount Sterling, will host an open mic night from 6 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, June 21st. Admission is free and a cash bar will be available.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Chaz Jenkins here at WMKY. This is Moorhead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.